way back to its pod for its translation of your book," said the Bar Kung proprietorially. "It wants you to."
But Kin was already tying a personalised knot at the beginning of the coil.
"Understand, not self," squawked the voice box. "For, pap, belong, sibling."
"He means..."
"I understand," said Kin wearily.
"J-Lo!" screamed the raven.
"You take it away," said the Bar Kung,
thrusting the cage into a pair of Marco's arms.
"She can feed it, or eat it, or make love to it, or teach it to sing, or whatever humans do with pests."
"Pets," said Marco.
He took the cage. There didn't seem to be any alternative. The Eft watched them head towards the shuttle bay.
"Crazy?"
it ventured.
"Humans run the universe now," said the Bar Kung bitterly. "Such craziness. I wish I could get hold of some. Notice the way humans walk as if they owned a galaxy."
The Eft considered this. It had always found it an effort to comprehend a method of locomotion that didn't involve tentacles.
"No,"
it said. There were few passengers on the shuttle. There was a moment of high G as strap-on rockets sent it swinging out of the hangar and down the line. "At least I'll have a native guide," said Kin, and grinned to show that it was a joke. But this Kung seemed to know about humour. Legally human?
"I was hoping you might be able to help me there," said Marco,
fishing a pouch out of his travelling bag.
"I never been down there in my life. Sometimes I've run freighters there, but only as far as up."
"You mean you got that close and never went to look at your people's world?"
"Whose people's world? I was born on Earth."
He brought out a bone-coloured pipe, filled it from a pouch and lit it with an everglow. Kin wrinkled her nose.
"What the hell's that?"
"Tobacco," said Marco. "Cutty Peerless 6. There's a man in London sends it out to me. That's London, England, you understand."
"Do you enjoy it?" There was a click as the cabin air filters came on. Marco took the pipe out of his mouth and looked at it reflectively.
"On the whole, no," he said. "But it is historically satisfying. May I ask you a question?"
"Go right ahead."
"Do you have a thing about Kung? Sexually, I mean."
Kin stared into the great grey eyes and at the mottled skin, and the snappy answer died in her throat. She recalled occasional rumours. Marco radiated maleness from his matchstick figure. Kung males were almost unbelievably masculine, and priapic, apparently. Kung were directly polarised, male and female, with none of that subtle elision between the absolute male and absolute female psyches that humans possessed. To some human women, the Kung machismo was magnetic. "Never in 1,000 years, she said levelly. "You can call me old-fashioned if you like."
"Thank goodness," said the Kung. "I hope I did not cause offence."
"Nothing that won't heal."
"What made you ask?" "Oh, you wouldn't credit the stories I could tell you, Kin Arad, of young human females with frefracom hairstyles, and what they think is genuine Kung-style dress and a superficial and uninformed taste in Tlang music. When I played piano in a nightclub on Crespo during the spacer slump, I had to lock my windows at night, and once too young..."
He paused, then went on.
"Of course I realise you are a cosmopolitan woman, but I once had to hit the wife of a new Earth ambassador with a chair."
The raven fretted in its transparent cage. Kin glanced at it. "What are we going to do if J-Lo contacts us?" she said. Marco took the